Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A side note, I work in a tech company and there was an IT chat that got created and the first thing I said is, how do emails work? And I got kicked out by the IT people.
Oh yeah? Ethan online, Jamie online, Peter online, all lore boys nominal. That's a reference to our podcast.
I'm a newsman.
That's the episode today. That's the one that I'm hosting. My name's Peter O'Donohue. I'm hosting the Lore Boys podcast.
Hi, Peter.
Over this way is
James Mardi Gras Miller.
James Mardi Gras Miller. He gave you some beads. I showed him a titties. That is the way. That's exchange. That is what human society functions on. Is
yes.
Fair trade. And this other guy here is, he's in front of me.
I'm Ethan.
That's Ethan.
Looks like a deer in the headlights.
That's Ethan again.
Well, I wasn't sure because it's a podcast, so it's a very audio medium, so yeah. I couldn't see where you were looking.
That's true. Yeah, we put on blindfolds while we record.
to enrich the experience for the podcast.
Yeah. It's for authenticity's sake.
Exactly,
we're artists. We're like Yoko Ono. We do a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah, we just do weird
just
shit.
Just to be sure, we're all facing away from each other right now.
Yeah. Well, from what I can tell, I can't see where you guys are sitting.
Yeah.
I learned a funny thing today. Before we get into it, not today, last night rather. You could apparently. So in 14 years, I had never seen this once, and I texted a buddy of mine who's probably put about 1,000 hours into this game.
Okay.
You can somehow commit suicide with the energy sword in Halo 2.
How? Really?
I don't know. So at my buddy down the street has an Xbox the First and Halo 2.
Okay.
And he's only got two controllers, so we made up this game mode called the Corpse Pit. So we're on the map midship, which has no edges to fall off of.
Okay.
And you just, like, go on either side of the pit, and it's like this little bowl in this like a half pipe sort of thing in the middle of the map, and then you bow to each other and it's swords only, and you can only use B, you can't do the lunge, so it takes two hits to kill each other, and you play to 10. It's called the Corpse Pit, and whoever loses starts in the pit, so the winner gets the high ground, but you switch if the whatever the loser wins, right?
Okay.
First round, I'm going up against Brandon in the pit. He misses me with his sword. And then I hit him once, and then it just goes, suicide. And he just drops dead.
Oh, yeah?
And then we look at the score, and it was 0-1.
What the heck?
Like, he actually missed. And then I text my buddy Kyle, who's played 1,500 hours, probably, of Halo 2. Like, the 1,000 hours I had originally said, probably even, not even
low
enough.
Ball in it. Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, so you can kill yourself with the sword in Halo 2. He's like, what? Like, but we have no idea how it happened. He hit a wall and just dropped dead.
Sounds like he like clipped into a wall or something.
Not a clue. Yeah. Anyway, he suicided.
He probably tried to lunge at you and then clip through a wall. Fucking cheater.
Yeah.
Brendan, if you're listening, we know you cheated.
Fucking cheater.
Oh, there's an animation for it if you do it right. He just lifts the energy sword up to his neck and lops
it off. Yeah. So
drags it across.
If you want to quit what you're doing, so I bought Neo this week.
Yeah.
And so that's Samurai Souls. If you want to quit what you're doing and go back to a checkpoint, there's a Harikiri sword. So you just commit suicide and leave your money, leave all your money behind. Yeah.
Nice.
I haven't used it. I'm not a pussy.
You Sapporo yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You Sapporo Biru yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys, speaking of Xbox the First, one of the games that I played thousands of hours of.
Was this on Xbox?
Mech Assault was on Xbox. Mech Assault and Mech Assault 2 Lone Wolf, which we will not be talking about today because they take place during the Blake Jihad, which we're not going to get into. But
Mechanical NACL.
Right. Right.
Mech Assault?
And what are we talking about today, boys?
Mech Warrior.
Nope.
Transformers 2.
Robots in disguise.
We're talking about the Transformers movie from the 80s.
Yeah.
We're actually talking about Battletech.
Battletech!
Which actually had a terrible 80s cartoon.
Yeah.
I sent one episode.
Terribly fantastic.
Terribly fantastic.
Good, bad.
I have watched the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
So there's another...
I watched the whole first episode.
There's another scene. So that video was probably the one that I watched back in the day. Because yeah, that BattleTech episode I checked was posted in 2007.
Nice.
And it's been on YouTube for like 11 years now.
Nice.
There is a scene I was watching with somebody else. They're like in a spaceship, but it's not specified that they have magnet boots on for the gravity. So these guys walk into a ship and they're like, oh, we're going to take over here. And then one guy just like standing perfectly still rotates and sticks to the ceiling. we're watching that just like, what?
Why?
Because it was never specified that they had mag boots on.
To
stick to the ship.
Huh.
So yeah, BattleTech. And so
featuring the amazing Upside Down Man.
Woo! So I've played a lot of BattleTech games. So this was a tabletop game, by the way, in the 80s.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's a pen and paper. It's a pen and paper tabletop game. Yeah,
James has zero idea what this world is about, or the cartoons or anything. I'm excited to learn.
You know, it's about mechs.
Well, I've seen a mech or two, but I don't know what this is going to.
You've seen robots.
Seen robots. Yeah.
Well, as we established earlier, don't call them robots because they're sweaty neckbeards on the internet who would just be like, actually, robots need AI. Mechs are just tanks. They have a pilot.
Hank Dinker. Okay.
They have a pilot.
Just call them tanks.
But they're called mechs.
Walking tanks.
Walking tanks.
So I call they're like leggy tanks.
Walking, talking. Shooting, rooting, tooting,
anthropomorphized tanks.
Some of them are.
They look more like people.
Some of them look like people.
They're like, if you wanted to see two tanks having sex on DeviantArt, they'd be mechs.
Well, depends what you're into.
It depends on what you're into. I can imagine on DeviantArt, there'd probably just be
shredded tanks having sex.
Dude, it's DeviantArt.
One barrel into the back of the other one.
Yeah. Or it's like some gay tank porn where the barrels are just touching. Touch the barrels together.
They fire at the same time and turn the barrels into shreds.
Cartoon cigars.
Yeah,
so I've played... The first BattleTech game I played was MechWarrior 3. Easily one of my favorite games ever.
Okay.
I've also played MechWarrior 4, Vengeance, Black Knight, and Mercenaries.
I've played MechWarrior 3, I think.
Yeah.
It was like Windows 98.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the mechs all look like they're made of origami because there's old PC graphics.
Yeah. I played that one.
That game's awesome.
Yeah,
really, really good.
I remember it being dope. We had a fucking legit joystick to play that shit
with. Yeah, well, you kind of need it. Playing that on a keyboard, even for me, is hard.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. But you need to use the arrow keys because zero is zoom.
Yeah.
For your reticle, it's absurd. And then Mech Assault 1 and 2 on the Xbox. And I played MechWarrior Online, which is currently the free-to-play shooter
MWO
on Steam.
Nice.
I don't like it. I think it's grindy. And
you don't like it because it's too grindy.
Yeah. Well, I like Warframe, obviously, but like the game itself
must be really grindy.
Yeah. The game itself is. We were talking about this earlier. If you die in game, you die for
real.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh
yeah.
No.
No. But you actually have to fucking wait for the round to be over if you want your mech back.
Oh.
Because the wreck is just in game.
Oh yeah.
Until it's over. So you can quit and go back to your hangar, and like if you have other mechs you can customize them, but the mech you were using is just fucking there and you have to
go
wait.
Pick it up?
No, you have to wait until the round ends. Okay. And the time limit is like 15 fucking minutes.
Jesus.
So I find in game I find you die too quickly. But like, and then you just can't kill people. It just takes forever, honestly.
What you're saying is you're bad.
I'm probably terrible at it and I just don't enjoy playing.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's also PvP. Warframe's fun because it's PvE, right? So,
yeah.
As someone who plays a lot of video games, that game has never even brushed like the outside of
the fact that
the
it
peripheral
exists.
Of your
the fact that it exists at all is a complete surprise to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's two BattleTech games coming out this year, and they're the only 2018 releases I'm excited about. There's
BattleTech Transformers in Disguise.
Exactly. Robots actually.
Yeah.
There's a turn-based strategy one where you have a squad of mechs coming out, and there's a first-person shooter where you pilot a mech. It's MechWarrior 5. So we're finally getting a sequel 16 years after the last one came out.
Nice.
Wait, is MechWarrior like a Fire Emblem type game where you top down? There's one like that.
There is
mech in the name.
There's two RTSs. There's Mech Commander 1 and 2.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking
for
about.
For Game Boy
Advance,
I lost
Advance
it.
Force.
Yeah, Advance
Force. Oh, Mech Assault Phantom War or something is on the DS.
Okay. Yeah, Advance Wars was exactly what I was thinking of, though. I lost that game in the back of the field in elementary school. It was really sad.
That's sad.
Yeah.
You lose a game back there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just
I think
fell out of my Game Boy.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah. So, BattleTech takes place in our universe, sort of. Again,
so we take place in the BattleTech universe, is what you're saying.
Right. So this will be the lore of the planet Earth.
Nice.
Okay. So in the year zero, a man named Jesus was born. Jesus. And he would become King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Where's he from?
He's from Nazareth.
Nazareth. Yeah. Nice.
King of the Jews, King of all men. Yeah, he was kind of retroactively made the...
And he's like a boss mech pilot, right?
Oh, dude. Jesus was like the hypest mech pilot. Okay, he unironically piloted the mech called the Crusader. Okay. And then just fucking, yeah, just wrecked face. None of this is true, James. Don't... You're looking at me. I can't see your mouth to see if you look like you believe what I'm saying.
His mouth agape right
now.
Yeah,
it's just like... I also can't see you because we're all wearing blindfolds because this is an audio format. Oh,
right, and I have so many sparkly beads on. You couldn't see me if you... Right.
No, when I showed up, he was wearing a Mardi Gras shirt.
Dazzlingly blinding.
Yeah.
Blindingly
it was blinding.
Yeah.
So just a quick few dates here to go through. So the way something interesting about the BattleTech universe is Earth is at the center of what's called the Inner Sphere, which is where all of the planets that humans have colonized, we just kind of branched out from Earth, but Earth is at the middle, and they call it
roughly sphere.
They call it Terra.
That sounds consistent with humanity, making us the center of everything.
Well, I mean, you got to start somewhere.
It makes most sense, too, right? Because you wouldn't be partial to one direction over another. You would kind of just go out in every direction. You would be at the same speed, right?
Yeah, why not a major star, though?
And the sun's a pretty major star.
Yeah, I guess so.
Sun's a minor star.
When you think about
it's a major star to us right now, but yeah, I don't think it is in the grand scheme.
Sun's a little babby star. It's tiny.
Little babby.
Yeah.
We have a fucking bitch of a fucking star. I hate it. I hate you, Dad.
Go. Fucking bitch star.
You're such a wuss. God.
8 billion years old.
All the stars in the local cluster make fun of you.
My star could beat up your star.
Yeah, exactly. Their solar flares are as big as half of you.
Yeah. So we start in the current year. Current year argument, 2018. Two men named Takayoshi Fushida and Tom Kearney.
Okay.
Start publishing theories about hyperdimensional travel. However, when asked to prove it, they were just like, it's not possible. You can't do it. It doesn't work when there's gravity around, so you can't do it
fucking
on
gravity.
You can't do it on Earth.
Always holding us down.
And in 2018, the amount of power. Boo. Yeah. Boo. Fucking dad puns. I'm leaving. You guys can host this all. You can fucking BattleTech episode.
Don't you mean a sun pun?
Oh.
Sorry. Too much gravity. Can't do interdimensional.
Can't do it. And they were like, 2018, the amount of power required simply doesn't even exist.
So, okay, wait. Did you watch The Cloverfield Paradox?
No.
Because you set us up really nicely for that movie.
I don't know what that is either.
It's on
Netflix.
If you're
going to talk about it, you got to explain it.
You know Cloverfield? Did you see Cloverfield 1 and 2?
That's
the big
where
lizard?
You find the 3 and the 4 leaf things.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So
it's all about counting leaves.
You go out into a green Irish field, you find 4 J.J. Abrams movies, and that's good luck.
Disguised as leprechauns.
Yeah. You can't take your eyes off J.J. Abrams or he'll disappear. Before he'll lead you to his mystery box full of gold.
Exactly, yeah. And mediocre movies. The second one was really good.
Universally, anyway. Probably... J.J., I think, is the pinnacle of mediocre directors. He has never made a bad movie, but I don't think he's ever made a good movie. Anyway, so they're just like, yeah, so you can travel through time and space, but we can't prove it because it's 2018, and Harvard and MIT are just like, right, get out. And they're just like, we've packed your things already. They're at the door. Yeah. Just don't hurt anybody, you lunatics. One of my favorite things is that Thomas Kearney couldn't get a job again as a teacher or scientist because, rightfully so, he was ridiculed out of school. He became a chef, and then
he got to do something.
And then in 2047, died of food poisoning. So he he wasn't good at that either.
Oh, man.
I made a little note for myself when I was putting this together. I was like, he probably theorized you could just survive off raw chicken, which was also not true.
Not true.
Fushida, however, is less of a...
I could eat raw chicken if it wasn't for gravity, damn it.
Yeah, it's the amount of energy to cook chicken just doesn't exist. I'm just going to eat it raw. Yeah. And
that's
he died.
Why he had to work in theoretical physics because he couldn't kill himself at his job.
Exactly,
yeah.
So, yeah, he's just a fucking loser. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
And then Fushida, however, a less pathetic legacy. His descendants would eventually become one of the main ruling families of one of the great houses. So we'll get into that. Later on.
Peter, what's a great house? No,
the great houses are the families that own chunks of space, which
Game
I'll explain as to why. So the inner sphere kind of descended into fiefdoms. Because communication technology, I guess I'll just cover this one now. Communication technology could not, at least at first, send signals back to Earth fast enough.
Yeah.
So Earth could not govern space because things were too far away.
They would take a long ass time.
Yeah, exactly. So,
which is really cool because that is kind of like back in the day what defined like a lot of kingdoms. It was like sometimes people would just like...
World War I started because people couldn't communicate fast
enough,
right?
Exactly, yeah. There's like so much miscommunication and shit.
Yeah. And so the InnerSphere is very much like that. So you've got the great houses with rules, chunks of space. I've got all their names written down. They all deserve their own episode, frankly.
They all have their own baronies.
Fucking Christ. It's, when I got into this, I was like, I played 4 video games with robots in them, and I like it. And then I was reading about this. It's like 300 years of space politics before they invent the battle mech.
Yeah, yeah.
And since the battle mechs aren't alive, they're just tanks, it's not like you can talk about, like, you know, the personality that the summoner had and like how sassy and great it was when it's just a car with guns on it.
the fact that it's based on a tabletop role-playing game, like, that makes so much sense. Yeah. Though,
I know.
You know, because that's all about writing.
It's also from 1984 is when BattleTech First Ed was published, so it's very, very old.
Honestly, thankfully, all these things aren't in the games, or else we'd have nothing to talk about on a podcast every weekend.
Exactly. Yeah. After Kearney has a pathetic death, Fushida dies also, but dies of old age, so big deal.
I would never have aged if it wasn't for gravity.
Oh, gravity! The amount of energy on Earth just doesn't exist to keep people alive forever. It's like their ultimate scapegoat.
Whenever you say AIDS is like tied to gravity, I think of like AIDS rain. Like it's just falling down all the
time.
Didn't you say I would never have AIDS if it wasn't for gravity?
AIDS. All
right.
Rain. AIDS rain?
That's what? Sick metal song.
That's what Adele was thinking about.
No? Oh, that.
Fire to the rain. Watch it burn. Yeah.
My God. All right. In 2086, the Terran Alliance is formed, the first government to encompass all of Earth. This happens a bunch. Doesn't matter.
Terran Alliance.
Just happens a lot. And then in 2107, the first hyperspace jump is successfully done on a test, air quotes, ship, which was actually just a box that they put what would come to be known as a KF drive in. So Kearney and Fushida were vindicated.
A Kearney Fushida drive.
Yes, exactly. A KF drive.
Sponsored by Elon Musk.
Exactly, yeah. So Elon Musk puts a big box around his hyperspace drive. They manage to send it light years away. They're finally vindicated, so they're just like, hey, we were right this whole time, but of course it took, you know, 98 years, and they're both dead.
And they're both dead.
Yeah, exactly. So that's basically it. So there's no germs, but this like lets us start colonizing. So the KF drive can go about 20 light years, but requires little to no gravitational disturbance. So you have to get into... kind of
empty-ish
space.
Yeah. Okay.
And then go to another point in empty-ish space, so you can't jump planet to planet. It's kind of old-timey technology. I think it's cool, vision of the future.
It's easy to avoid planets, though, if you're in space, man.
Yeah, exactly. Not if you want to colonize
things. It's hard to hit them, honestly.
Yeah, I think we talked about this last time with neutrinos.
Yeah, exactly. And then it takes about a week to recharge. On the wiki, it said 6 to 9 days.
You got to plug it in when you get there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You need a USB. You need to jump to near a planet that already has USBs.
This is so sponsored by Elon Musk. This is a Tesla. Yeah.
You like it's like when you take a plane and they don't have the USB ports to charge your phone, you get off, and you're like, you don't know where you are, you don't know how to get to the hotel, your phone's about to die.
So I was just saying that we can jump ahead now. We can make our own jump ahead. Mankind has colonized thousands of planets throughout multiple galaxies, and this is where we have the Inner Sphere, which I had mentioned earlier.
Dang.
So the Inner Sphere, Earth is at the center and is still trying to govern, but obviously communicating over such huge distances, it's fucking impossible.
Yeah. We're talking light years.
Yeah, so there's like wars all over the place. People are trying to become independent, and they finally have this thing called the Demarcation Declaration, where they're just like, fine, you know what? If you're more than 30 light years out, you're fucking independent. You can just have it. We don't give a shit anymore because we can't even ask you to stop fighting people.
Yeah, but
because everybody would be dead by the time the message got there.
Yeah.
It's
international
just fuck it over.
Waters.
Yeah,
exactly. It's the demarcation declaration. 30 light years out, international
it's
space
the
water.
Pirate zone.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yo-ho!
Also, there's something called the Ares Convention, which is
if we don't address it, it'll barely be picked up on the mics.
It was me. My phone went off.
Yeah, oh, no.
I'm a terrible person.
We need to restart. Forget everything I told you.
Yeah. Everybody stop listening and forget what I just told you.
They also had this thing called the Ares Convention because fighting with nukes and chemical weapons was ruining all these colonizable planets, and they were out in space. So everybody just agreed to stop using nukes and chemical weapons because you could slaughter everybody, but you got to make sure you can set up shop in their homes when you sweep out the
when
bones.
When you're done, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you sweep out all the bones and the pulver and the ashed people from your laser guns.
Yeah. You don't want a bunch of arsenic on the floor.
Exactly. You don't want all that nape. You don't want all that fallout.
It's so annoying to wear a ventilator when you're sweeping.
Constantly. I know, exactly. And
your face starts to sweat and itch.
Put your kids to bed in an iron lung or something.
Because they got space polio.
Yes, fucking exactly.
Polio bombs. You drop it in space.
Dropping polio bombs on New Earth.
Yeah.
I saw a video of a guy who's been in an iron lung for like 40 years.
Yeah, he's like the last one.
How's he doing?
He's alive.
Good.
You can say.
I don't know if I'd want that.
Well, I feel like at that point you're staying alive for your family rather than you. But even then, like, would it be?
Maybe you too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you play video games in an iron lung?
No.
I think they don't think they give you your hands. I've seen iron lung. It's like a drum with a child's head poking out of it. Yeah.
Or in this case, a fully grown man's head.
Or an old man. Did he have the same iron lung that he like grew up with? Did he grow up inside of it? He's just like, it's a bit cramped down at my ankles, but you know, I can't say goodbye to the old girl.
His body inside is cylindrical. Like,
he's like a tube. He's like cranberry sauce.
Yeah, when you open a can of soup and it comes out.
Oh my god.
He has to be buried in a circle instead of a square because
they're just gonna drop him in.
They bury him in a can of soup.
Who's that guy who made the giant can of soup or painted the can of soup?
Andy Warhol,
that's
Chef
it.
Chef Boyardee, the artist.
Yeah, exactly. He did like those paintings. He did like four different colored raviolis. So this might seem like an odd footnote considering we refer to the games, the games are all titled MechWarrior. At this point now, 2439, the battle mech is finally invented.
Nice.
So it's nicknamed the Mackie, and it's piloted by the first ever MechWarrior named Charles Kincaid.
It seems like pretty lame-ass technology for 300 and some odd years in the future.
They were just like, we went to space, but look at this. We put a leg on tank.
Well, yeah, we're international travel. We travel light years. Like, now we got legs on a tank.
Yeah.
And still shoots guns.
And then everybody's just like, oh, shit.
What?
Yeah, that's true. Well, like, most... mech weapons. There's three classes of weapon in MechWarrior.
Yeah, yeah.
There's ballistic weapons, which is just bullets.
Yeah.
There are missiles,
yeah.
Short range, long range, and artillery, just missiles. Mm-hmm. And then there's energy weapons, which are like lasers. The PPC is a lightning bolt.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have the Gauss rifle, which is technically still a ballistic weapon, but it's like a magnetic rail.
Matches were created after the lighter, though. Just for your point for saying like,
seriously?
So far ahead. Yeah,
hourglasses were invented around the same time as an analog clock.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man, people suck.
Yeah. It doesn't have to go in order. This is not a civilization tree.
Exactly.
When matches were invented, though, lighters were like huge. They were like this, like, you know, like five inches by 5 inches of like a block, and you had like a spark on the top that you spun
Jesus.
To like light it. So when they invented matches, they're like,
"Oh yeah,
really
I've seen
neat.
Those before." Yeah, that's true.
It's like a Kleenex box with like
let me give you a light, toots, and you're
filled with whale oil, you know?
full of beluga oil.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I pictured refilling that thing just shaking a whale above.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're
like
ringing
it out.
Yeah. Exactly. Queequeg, bring down the whale.
Exactly.
Gotta get all the whale juices out of him.
Yeah, I'd say juice him like an orange.
Whale head.
Oh, dang. Another bone jammed in the machine.
My God. Quick aside. Everybody should watch In the Heart of the Sea on Netflix.
Doing it.
Juice a whale.
It's good.
Juice a whale.
Hashtag
juice a whale.
It's about the true story about the whaling ship Essex that was stoved in by a whale. So a whaling ship was taken down by an angry bull sperm whale.
Nice.
And then with the survivors told Herman Melville, and he wrote Moby Dick.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like the last part's fake, but I love it.
Nope.
No?
No.
Okay,
that's
something you would say as a joke very seriously. That's real. Okay.
Yeah, that is real. Yeah, Herman Melville based Moby Dick on... partially on the story of the whaling ship Essex, which was taken down by a sperm whale like out in the middle of fucking Pacific. The captain ate people on his life raft.
Well,
they can't like, so there's apparently sea rules, so there's a lot of like navy rules and MechWarrior as well, so this is totally irrelevant aside. There's like rules at sea that you can only eat your crew at a certain point.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, That's interesting. But yeah, it was like the cabin boy, the captain, the first mate, and one other guy were the only survivors off this ship.
I would never judge someone who, if everybody was going to die, if they ate somebody else.
Yeah,
if anything, I can't judge them because they went through shit.
Yeah. I went down like a weird cannibalism rabbit hole on Wikipedia where I read about the Essex, and then I read about this like Chilean rugby team airplane.
Oh, the plane crash.
Yeah, the plane crash where it like went through the clouds in the mountains and then hit the peak of a mountain.
There was just a mountain there, yeah.
Blasted the wings off, and then it crashed in the Andes, and those people ate each other as well.
There's a movie about it.
Yeah, there is.
Into the Wilderness or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Land Before Time.
Land Before Time. Yeah. Yeah. Or Littlefoot's mom has to eat Littlefoot has to eat his mom.
Bad part is the dad might have actually eaten Littlefoot.
Yeah, where's Littlefoot's dad?
They call it the Land Before Time because they landed before it was time.
Yeah, exactly. The land before time. Yeah, because they were early. So out in space, I mentioned the great houses. The great houses all take over their own chunks of space because you can only communicate feasibly between a certain amount of distance. And then they decide that fighting each other is completely pointless. And in 2570,
is there not enough space for everyone?
Apparently not.
You know what I mean? Can't you just find your own planet?
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Did you only have 1,000 planets in your great house? Shit.
I want that one.
Yeah.
Like, no, there's a million unclaimed planets just right there. Yeah. Just a short.
My house color is green. That planet's mostly green. Your house color is red. You take the other one.
You take the red planet.
I'm gonna send my
that planet on fire.
Yeah, exactly. Take that one. Yeah. Take that one over there.
Are there flaming planets?
Probably.
It's a big universe, dude.
Yep.
It's metal, man.
Yeah.
I like probably that idea.
Probably not forever.
Yeah,
oxygen's got to burn up at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stars only continue to burn because they like create so much. They're so huge that
they create
heat in the exactly.
They split one hydrogen atom into two hydrogen atoms. But even all the stars will eventually burn out.
Yeah.
Macs are powered by fusion reactors.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is why sometimes they explode.
That's not fission.
No, it is not. That is a fusion reactor.
All the stars are going to burn out. I just got really sad.
It's going to be a while, dude. You got a minute.
Everything's temporary.
If you got a minute. Don't worry about it.
If it cheers you up, you will be long dead.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Oh. Dang.
It should, because you don't want to be alive when it happens.
I thought that would work.
Yeah. I think I'd rather be alive for another billion years than die now.
That's fair.
Like immediately or like live? I don't want to live.
Like immediately? You need to put down the gun.
No!
Well, you chose right.
Yeah.
Because this was it. Yeah. I guess you got a billion years before I come back
now. Oh, I'll set a date.
Yeah. Siri set a date.
Yeah.
A billion
February
years
18th.
1 billion.
If somebody could hold themselves to an appointment like that, I would let them kill me.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd just be like,
hey,
sir. Yeah, exactly. At whatever we consider to be 3:02 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Like, they would show up and I'd be like, oh, was that today? Oh, I made other plans.
Shit.
Yeah. Just gonna watch the stars burn out.
Yeah. Yeah. The houses get together and they decide that fighting each other is pointless. So in 2570, they form the Star League, which is like the UN in space, and it's just as ineffective.
Now we got Red Planet, we got Team Red Planet, we got Team Green Planet working together.
We have red, we have green, we have blue, we have purple, and then we have
purple planet.
Teal.
Star League sounds like a bunch of nerds.
They are a bunch of nerds. So anyway, the Great Houses finally.
It's like the model UN.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a bunch of nerds.
We're the Star League. Gonna solve everybody's problems.
You know,
put down that giant tank with legs.
That fucking scene in The Simpsons is so funny because fucking Bart is Libya and he's like sitting there with like he's got like the Gaddafi sunglasses. Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, this show is so 90s. Love it. So the great houses are as follows. We have House Davion, House Steiner, House Liao, House Merrick, and then House Kurita, who are the descendants of Fushida, who did not die of food poisoning but managed to have his descendants go out into space and become one of the ruling houses of a section of the inner sphere.
No House Kincaid.
No House Kincaid?
Poor guy.
I only put his name in there because he was the first mech warrior.
Yeah, he was.
And he's got a cool name.
That's why I thought maybe he'd have a house.
Nope.
Because he was like, I'm the only one with a mech warrior.
No.
Bow to me.
Well, I mean, the guy, like, test pilots don't become the president.
Wait. Why am I getting my pilot's license?
Yeah, exactly. So the first chairman dies, and all of the other house leaders immediately think it should be them who leads the Star League. And this immediately leads to the secession wars.
Just a big old war. Nice.
Yeah.
So there's just like the League of Nations.
That's what I mean. The fact that they're just like, yeah, let's make our own UN, but in space this time, and it's garbage. Yeah. It's just fucked.
Doesn't League like imply competition?
No.
Like a soccer league.
No, you can be in league with someone.
The UN originally was called the League of Nations. Okay. After World War One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We seem to use it in places where there's a lot of competition a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think it's just a bunch of people who work together, like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Even though there was a lady on that ship.
Is it just a grouping? Like, what's a league? I always do this. Anyways, continue.
Tweet it, Jamie, the definition of a league, please.
Yeah. So I'm going to give him definition two of a league.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this leads to the succession wars between 2786. So 16 years, they had a chairman. He dies, and they immediately devolve into chaos. 2786 and 3028.
Yeah, Warbucks is gone. Everybody fight.
Exactly, yeah. A little orphan Annie wants to be chairman, but the fucking Fushitas in House Merrick or whatever, they all want to fucking be chairman too.
That's it, yeah.
And the
Targaryens are the only true.
The first ever video game was set between 3024 and 3028, so during the fourth succession.
The first ever video game, like Pong or
Mech
like...
Warrior. Pong is set exactly.
Yeah.
Pong is set in the year 3024, those are two capital ships of House Davion and House Merrick.
Yeah,
they're just bouncing a nuke away from their capital planet.
They're mechs. They're tanks with legs. But they also have paddles that they use to bounce this.
Yeah, yeah.
This
well, the Atari graphics just couldn't do it, so you got to use your imagination.
Well, they did it pretty well.
That stick. Yeah. That stick. So now we have to go in between here during the succession wars. In 2784, a big boy, big space boy, gets sick of all the bullshit. A man named Alexander Kerensky.
Okay.
He is the head of the Star League Defense Force.
It's the guy from the show, right?
No, this is way before the show. The show that I showed you is in 3050 during the Clan Invasion, which we will touch on, but not get into because it's much denser than I had remembered. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, I'll just cover a little bit of history and then we can talk about the clans.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when I started researching, I was just like, I really got to cover a lot of things before anybody understands what a clan even is.
Yeah.
And what them getting founded is so fucking cool.
Okay.
Because it's Game of Thrones in space.
Yeah, but it
doesn't meander nearly as much and is still good.
Yeah. And it probably has an ending at some point.
Well, I mean, MechWarrior 5 is coming out, so no. But yeah, I mean...
Who publishes these games? Or
Who
devs them?
Who did?
Who devs?
So the original games were published by video games. That is, were published by FASA Studios, who got purchased by Microsoft.
Good old faith.
And then after MechAssault and MechAssault 2 on the Xbox, for some reason, games about robots beating the shit out of each other just wasn't financially viable, said some idiot CEO somewhere.
Well, robots are so expensive, so to make a game
exactly.
You gotta spend a lot of money building.
You gotta mocap all those robot actors, and they have a very good union.
You're basically building
robot mocap actors.
Yeah, robot mocap actors.
You're building robots, just not paying for the metal, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then Piranha Games makes MechWarrior Online, and they're also making MechWarrior 5.
Okay.
And there's another developer who made the new Shadowrun games, Shadowrun Returns.
Okay.
Harebrained Schemes. They're making the turn-based MechWarrior game.
Gotcha.
So they're all... The MechWarrior turn-based one I know is set before the clans. MechWarrior 5, assuming it's a sequel to MechWarrior 4, it's going to be during the Jihad, I assume. I hope it's not in the past, because that means we don't get the clan mechs, and those are the cool ones that everybody kind of recognizes.
Mm.
Yeah, that'll make sense.
Those ones that I recognize, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll make sense eventually. So he's Alexander Kerensky is the head of the Star League Defense Force. He's the big dick general of the Star League. He's the UN King of Interpol sort of thing. He's just like, boy, fighting is kind of pointless, and all these politicians do absolutely nothing good. So he was just like, hello, every smart and talented person in the inner sphere. Would you like to leave? And he organizes Operation Exodus, where he takes all the smartest, most talented people and their families and whoever else wanted to go, and they leave into space. In the end...
But you had to, like, pass a test to, like...
No, it's just anybody who wanted to go, okay, but apparently scientists...
But if you're smart, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, scientists and generals, all the best people, their families, their friends, everybody, all the best people, best Exodus, my Exodus is the best one, disappeared into what's called the Deep Periphery, which is the part of space outside of the inner sphere that is yet to be colonized.
Got you.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's about to be colonized.
Well,
like it's about to get
sort of. Yeah, so they leave behind pretty much nobody who understood anything. So a lot of the shit was automated.
Just like a bunch of idiots.
When
like,
they left.
So what do we do with all these machines?
So this leads into it. So the reason we'll get into why the clans had such an easy time taking over, but that's because they were just like, imagine if every genius on Earth just stopped doing things and the rest of us had to figure it out, but we were too busy bickering, yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, so that sounds like something that's happened.
Yeah, yeah. Eerily familiar.
That sounds totally unfamiliar.
Morale was pretty low, however, on the Exodus ships because it was unknown if Alexander even had a destination in mind other than just not the Inner Sphere. He was just like, I just want to leave. Like, yeah, where are we going? He's like, don't worry about it. Yeah. And then they just go.
That's how I play Skyrim a lot of the time.
Yeah, where are you going? Yeah. Just go. Yeah.
He's like, I know you are all the smartest people in the known galaxy.
Yeah.
Nobody ask any questions.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it. I don't need to conference call you guys on this one. I got it.
As soon as I get into deep space, he's like, haha, cucked you. I never had an idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You figure it out.
We're in the space between galaxies. We'll never reach Andromeda.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, whoops. Oh, it's way farther than Andromeda. The Inner Sphere is like galaxy spanning. There's multiple galaxies in the Inner Sphere already.
I wish Mass Effect never reached Andromeda.
And why only
Yeah, me
planets?
Too. Yeah. It could, you know what? You end on a low note. You can just stay there instead of going even further into the ground and then eventually just imploding. Yeah. Mass Effect lore. Lore boys.
This has been Mass Effect lore.
So yeah, that was basically it.
They had to end that arc though, right? It's like when Harry Potter got married and had a kid. Like, there's gonna be no more Harry Potters. They had to just ruin the game at the end.
Oh yeah.
No, Harry Potter had a kid, dude. Read it.
Read it.
Read a book, Ethan.
Read a book, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Less Harry Potter.
Less Harry Potter, more lore boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Or more battle tech.
More wizards.
A small number of ships started to rebel.
Okay.
Like, so they have like a flotilla going out into the deep periphery, and Alexander Kerensky, you know, whatever, is just like, I don't really know what to do, so he just decided to execute the mutineers. So it's just like, I'm leaving I'm leaving because I hate fighting. We hate you, and he kills him.
Yeah,
yeah, that's it.
Okay, bye. You're dead.
Now he's right.
Yeah, exactly. Might no makes right. Apparently, that he just can't stop fighting.
There's no one disagreeing with him now.
Nope, exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It's like just a freaking snake oil salesman that like his scam got way out of hand.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, now he doesn't know what to do with these people. He's like, fuck it, give me the money. Like, keep thinking. Like,
yeah, no.
Oh, those guys are on me. Quick, kill them.
That's so fucking funny to think of as a snake oil salesman. It's like, have I got a deal for you out in the deep periphery?
Out in the deep periphery.
Yeah, and then everybody's like, well, there's
a place free from war.
Well, there's nothing here, Mr. Kerensky.
No, just
shoots him. Yeah. Yeah.
Just ask his Ben. Just walk with me. Why are you walking so fast?
Well, I know. The prize is at the bottom of this mine shaft. And he just like blows up the door when the guy
yeah,
walks
just like
in.
Old timey dynamite. Like, Mishka on guitar.
Yeah.
So a year after he executes the mutineers, they find five barely habitable planets and they stop to take a breath. This has become the Pentagon Worlds.
Pentagon. That is actually very lucky, though, to find five that are barely habitable altogether. Though.
Yeah, well, it's pretty rough out in the periphery, man.
Yeah. Just like rough out here.
Just like the band.
Yeah. I'm grinding out here, you know, every day.
Yeah, on the grind out in the periphery, man. Yeah, Pentagon Worlds. Yeah.
They're galaxy-spanning, though. They should be able to find like a couple points.
The fact that they found five is pretty decent. I mean, I think right.
No, yeah. Close?
Five
like,
close together.
Well, close together. They do have hyperspace generators. Yeah. They can go through... they can go light years away, but like they're close enough that they can all communicate.
Yeah,
right.
That's
which was a big thing within that 30 light year window.
So for some reason, like this the whole part here kind of defeats the purpose of why he left in the first place. On the Pentagon world, Alexander tries to create his own better Star League called Star League in Exile.
I just named it that.
Yeah,
Star League in space.
Yeah, and within a year, cracks began to appear, and then the Exodus Civil War begins.
He's literally like Bender. I'm gonna make my own.
I know.
North
Korea is like, I'm the United Nations too.
Yeah, exactly.
We have our own United Nations.
And it's just all Koreans. It's all the kids. Family. Yeah.
And all he does is he just keeps sending pictures back to the other Star League. Like, look at our happy Star League.
Yeah. He's conveniently standing in front of war crimes at all times. Yeah. So it's like nobody can see what's going on.
Like barely obscuring them.
Exactly. Barely obscured. Yeah, like a branch of a tree in the way.
Yeah.
Like some dude hanging off of it.
Yeah.
So finally, he kind of gets sick of his bullshit. In 2786, he broadcasts what's known as the Voice of Kerensky back at the Inner Sphere, which I'll read here because I think it's very good. It's a call for peace, but he uses a standard microwave transmission, so it takes a very, very long time to get there.
Yep.
So
I tried to cook a burrito.
Yeah, exactly. In space.
I tried to cook a burrito from light years away.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just like direct a laser beam at it. It takes 1,000 years.
Yeah.
It's gone bad and fossilized by the time the laser gets there.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Voice of Kerensky, I'm going to read here because it's pretty good. It says, "To all citizens of the Inner Sphere, do I, Alexander Kerensky, send greetings. Know that I have taken the remnant of the Star League Defense Force, which has remained true to its purpose beyond the boundaries of the Inner Sphere, beyond the periphery. I have done this neither out of disappointment with those whom we leave behind, nor out of spite or disdain, as some will say. Well, no, we have left the Inner Sphere because we love it too much to see it destroyed. In the wake of the usurper's coup, the long, bitter fighting that came with it, I fear that my forces would do incalculable, possibly irreparable harm to our society. We are sworn to ward the Star League and its subjects, not to destroy it. Thus, we have left the only homes we have ever known to place the destructive capability of this armada beyond the reach of those who would use it. Nor for defense, but for conquest. Perhaps, with the might of our mechs and ships out of reach, the leaders will now grapple with one another, will relinquish their dreams of subjugating their neighbors, and learn to live in peace with them. Perhaps, one day, should mankind step back from the brink of the abyss, we, our children, or our children's children will return to once more serve and protect and guide the Star League in mankind's quest for the stars. Farewell."
So he's really taking the high road on this one.
Yeah,
I did it for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think in our world that would ever happen. I think we're going to burn the Earth out before we would ever go away and say, we'll come back to it because it's our only goal.
Yeah, some guy's not just going to take all the bombs and just be like, I'll bring them back when you guys are old enough to take care of them. Yeah, he's like the Inner Sphere's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool concept, though. Like leaving your home.
That.
Yeah. Leaving your home because you know you are going to destroy it. I think that's cool.
Exactly. So he uses old...
Well, no, he says that because they're tearing it apart, and he says he doesn't want to get dragged into their conflict.
Yeah, exactly. Right? But then he just goes out to the periphery.
The Star League is fracturing.
Yeah.
And they're the defense force. They were like the army. They're the...
They're Interpol.
Interpol, exactly.
Yeah.
They're the army for the United Nations. And they're like, we're going to leave. I'm the general. I'm going to take the army for my own needs while you guys fucking bicker about yourselves.
I don't want you guys to break everything, so I'm taking it.
That's okay.
I'm taking all the mechs.
Which sounds like, come on, man, do your job.
All the people who know how to use mechs.
And you've literally abandoned them.
Yeah,
just left.
Exactly.
With all the fucking mechs.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's cool. It's a cool little aside here. Another one of his good quotes is, "Politics is supposed to be the second oldest profession. I have come to realize it bears a very close semblance to the first." Yes. Which,
what is the oldest?
Prostitution.
Prostitution is the oldest profession.
Oh!
Yeah. So he's just like, he's throwing some shade at the Star League.
He thinks he's very familiar with the oldest profession.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I like my right hand.
So I did want to touch on a company called Comstar. He uses like his old-timey microwave whatever message to send back his thing, which does not arrive for something like 800 years.
That sounds about
so
right.
Nobody ever hears his call for peace.
Okay.
Which is kind of sad. But yeah, it takes 800 years. It's in like the 3200s when his message finally arrives back at Earth.
Okay.
Comstar, however, have these things called hyperpulse generators. They're a communications company that figures out how to use them even though everybody in the Star League Defense Force left. They become a communications monopoly, and they're completely neutral.
AT&T, man.
They sell communications to all sides of every war because they were just like, hey, nobody else knows how to use this shit.
That's it.
So you need to send a message to your general. Okay, you can use Comstar.
Yeah.
And then they eventually get their own military force, and Comstar becomes very important.
This is the dystopian future where Comcast
runs
amok because the FCC doesn't shut them down.
So they were founded in 2788 and are still going. Comstar is still around.
Oh, shit.
And they end up becoming incredibly...
They're older than Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they become incredibly good and incredibly powerful. And very important later on in the story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Comstar controls all the communication. And because of this, everybody just kind of leaves them alone.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, well, everybody needs a cell phone.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a radio.
Yeah, nobody fuck up my fucking...
Okay, exactly.
Nobody fuck up my Twitter feed, okay?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, they're giving internet to the bad guys.
Yeah.
But like, they think we're the bad guys and we're getting internet from them as well.
Yeah. They're like, okay, let's define war crimes.
Everybody's got to send emails.
I guess the most powerful person, though, couldn't they just say, I'll defend you from everybody else, and
there's no one most powerful person.
That's the problem, yeah.
Yeah.
But once the the army's monopolized, then the communications will have to.
The army monopolized and then left.
Yeah, they left some people. They left some people behind.
But
so well,
there's
the
still houses, though. Right?
The great houses are still fighting each other with like the mechs they have and like the mechs they can still build, but they don't really know how to use
them.
They
don't know the right way to do it because all the good mechs.
How many houses?
Left.
Five. Five.
One,
red,
two, three, four,
red,
five. Yes.
Red, green.
Three houses.
Red,
say,
green, blue, teal, and
three houses
purple.
Find a common interest. Say, hey, let's not give communications to the other two, let's police it. But I guess it's not happening.
Sort of. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, so yeah, he doesn't use a hyperpulse generator because he doesn't have Comstar out in the periphery. So that's why the message never really gets to anybody.
Okay.
Anyway.
They refuse to run lines that far.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, using dial-up.
like the idea of, like, really big cell phone towers just on, like,
flying through space. Yeah.
It's like telephone poles and a wire. just wrapping.
They're on the moon, so it's wrapping around the planet.
Yeah, that's it. There's, like, one loop around the planet, and it goes off.
Still copper wire, light years of copper wire.
Yeah.
Imagine looking.
You got
up,
copper thieves. Like,
imagine going for a walk down the street and looking up, and like there's a moon there, and then there's this giant wire coming so close to your planet because you're on it while it's wrapping.
Just straight
around.
Up.
Yeah. We got a cut out there by Mercury. It's gonna take us a couple thousand years to get fixed. Yeah. So we'll bill your grandkids.
Tell you what, are you gonna be here between July 1st and June 30th the next year?
Earth time. Earth time.
Yeah.
They're still having the Exodus Civil War, though, because people just cannot seem to get along. And then in 2801, Alexander gets up all the people who are still loyal to him and then dies of a heart attack at the age of 100.
So he never gets
to go into battle.
Can't really blame him.
He does leave the control of the Star League in exile to his son, Nicholas Kerensky, and his body is placed in a special glass coffin and placed in geosynchronous orbit around what would become a sacred planet called Stronomekti, which is Russian for Dreamland.
So we have a fucking political dynasty now.
Sort of.
Him giving the keys to the kingdom to his fucking son.
That was a lot louder than I expected. Okay. Thanks, Club Soda.
And they're all Russian, apparently.
Well, the Kerenskys are. Alexander Kerensky is mostly known for piloting the Orion heavy mech, which is a humanoid-looking mech. It's got one big-ass cannon arm that shoots missiles, and then it's got a gun arm, and I believe it has a laser on its hip and, like, a triangular short-range missile rack on its shoulder.
Okay.
But it's cool. It's cool. It looks like a person. There's melee combat in MechWarrior as well.
I don't remember.
You watched the Battletech show.
Yeah.
The main guy pilots the, the Axeman.
Yeah.
Which is just a mech with an axe.
Yeah.
Like, and then the Atlas has fists. It can punch. The Orion doesn't have fists. The Hunchback has hands, and so does the Centaurian.
Everybody knows Axe is best gun.
Axe is the best gun.
The Black Power Ranger has an axe gun. It's fucking sick.
Yeah. The Black Panther. The Black Panther's name is Orion. I just saw the movie, guys. That's a lie. I haven't seen that movie yet. I will eventually, when it's on Canadian Netflix.
Oh, yes.
Because superhero movies just... Frankly,
and we spend a lot of time in Canada in our travels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's where I get the best Netflix. I like to watch my movies a year and a half after they come out, which is why I vacation in Canada to watch their Netflix.
the only reason.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just dumping like a weekend in St. John's to watch some movies.
Nicholas Kerensky will be known as the father of the clans and the first Ilkhan, or Khan of Khans, God King among the Normie.
Jesus Christ! So they took this political dynasty and ran with it.
They went fucking crazy. They went to the periphery to solve their problems and actually just went crazier.
Just compounded.
Yeah, they're just like okay. So Nicholas Kerensky, I've got his page up here. He's the founder of the clans. He started to form the clans in 2807, so about 6 years after that, and he did that for 3 years. The important clans that we're going to touch on are going to be, where did I go here? There's tons. There was 20, I believe. Some of them were absorbed. They're all named after animals, generally, with like an element or whatever.
That's more than I can count.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't even know how many that is.
more than five. So what the other place had, I liked it. It was simple for me.
Five great houses, that was enough. 20 clans, Jesus. Star League in Exile. It's like, oh, you got five houses? We got 20 clans.
That's it.
Five houses. So much better.
20 clans, half the people.
That's it.
Five houses, that's a cul-de-sac. 20 houses, that's a neighborhood.
Yeah. So the most important ones are Clan Wolf, which is the one that Nicholas Kerensky ends up joining.
Creative naming.
Exactly. The Jade Falcons, who are in the cartoon.
Creative naming.
They're also pretty good. The Ghost Bears, who I wrote down here because they're in one of the games. MechWarrior 2, The Ghost Bearer Legacy. It's an expansion.
There we go.
Early 90s. And then the Smoke Jaguars, who are in the most games.
Well, I like the name.
Smoke Jaguar?
Yeah.
Smoke Jaguar is...
It's like a Joe Camel. But it's a jaguar.
Joe Camel. Clan Joe Camel.
Just
yeah, like, he's smoking.
A jaguar just smoking with like a leather jacket.
Yeah, and a big old dick nose.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's fucking great. The smoke jaguar, yeah, he's like smoking tobacco. It's like painted on the side of a mech.
Yeah. Nothing's cooler than a smoke jaguar.
Hey, what's going on, kids? You want a cigarette? We're the smoke jaguars. Come join our house. Buy this cigarette.
James Dean took a pull of this.
When he died, going super fast in his battle mech.
Speeding in his battle mech around a corner.
So yeah, the Smoke Jaguars are in the most games. They're in Mech Commander, they're in Mech Commander Gold, and they're in Mech Warrior 3. Those three games cover the destruction of the Smoke Jaguars, which was between the Star League 2 and Clan Novacat, who were just like, hey, we're going to hang out with Star League and fuck these guys up.
Yeah, I'd imagine like Smoke Jaguars' demise was something.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, well, you'll...
It took 80 years. Yeah. They all got cancer.
They all got cancer and died. Yeah, exactly. They're just, like, sitting in their mechs. It was like in the 80s cartoon. He's sitting there, he's like, switching to enhanced imaging.
Yeah, that's
Keeps taking off his fighter jet thing to, like, spit out phlegm. Yeah.
he'll pop the opening of the cockpit every once in a while just to vent all the smoke. Yeah.
Like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
So
that's a different house. That's a different house. Yeah, dog and smoke jaguar.
Yeah.
So you said a lot of things there, which we haven't got to yet, right? Star League coming over and fighting.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I touched on the games, which is there's a Star League, there's clans, and smoke jaguars all die.
They do die. They do die.
They get died.
Okay. Good.
They get died.
Are they bad guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not.
Jaguars typically like an evil.
Yeah. Cat. I mean, cats eat people.
Cats are typically evil, and jaguars.
I have
are
a cat.
One of the most evilest.
Exactly. It's because they hunt at night.
Yeah.
Jaguars. And they drag deers up into trees.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
They're also, I mean...
Smoke tobacco.
A panther.
They sell smokes to kids.
A Black Panther is just a jaguar, right? The same thing.
I think so. I haven't seen the movie. I'm pretty sure it's explained. There's a post-credit scene that... explains
so
the
difference between a jaguar, a panther...
And jaguar and a panther. Yeah, exactly.
Why do they sound like they're Trey Parker?
Hey, I'm that guy from Black Panther.
I'm what the hell's his name?
I don't know.
Me neither. Can't remember.
Matt Stone?
Nope. No. The main character.
Matt Stone, the main character in Black Panther.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So he forms clans. They're all doing fine. And then in where the hell is this? Yeah, 28. On October 7th, 2834, there was a thing that Clan Widowmaker did what's called a trial of absorption, where the two leaders of a clan will fight each other. The winner gets to absorb the other clan. Yeah.
Side note, prestiged in Overwatch this week, but keep going. Yeah.
Widowmaker. Yeah.
I'm saying they're racing for slips.
Basically. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So the Widowmaker Khan, Cal Jorgensen.
Did you say the Widowmaker Cuck?
The Widowmaker Khan. Cal Jorgensen accidentally apparently killed Nicholas Kerensky.
It sounds like it should be Jorgensen.
Jorgensen?
Jorgensen.
So this was between Clan Widowmaker and Clan Wolf. Clan Wolf wanted to absorb Widowmaker.
Wolves are Norwegian. They would pronounce it Jorgensen.
Jorgensen?
Hinkity, hinkity, orky.
So he was dueling the Clan Wolf Khan, Jerome Winson. This is Cal Jorgensen that's doing this. Okay. Winson was on the verge of winning when a star of Widowmaker mechs, a star is five mechs.
Okay.
Like the points of a star.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So they came in to what's known as the Circle of Equals. So they came in to the mano a mano fight and we're just
not
like,
equal.
Hey, you stop it.
Hey, you leave our boss alone.
And then Nicholas Kerensky, piloting his Atlas II, comes in. He's like, yo, everybody, cool your shit. He's Khan of Khans. And his cockpit was incinerated by a stray shot from Jorgensen's Highlander mech. So he was just blown away immediately.
The 5 points to a star or the circle of equals, that's all perspective, man. That's how you're drawing the lines in between. If you could just draw a circle with 5 points of a star... You could also...
All the way around.
Yeah.
Stars are pretty circular.
Anyway, he was killed in what is known as an unfortunate accident when he was shot in the face by Cal Jorgensen.
It's like the shitty kind where, like, now Cal Jorgensen is, like, at the funeral leading the eulogy and everyone's like, fuck,
complete description.
Yeah.
Oh, been to those.
So that's pretty much the end of Nicholas Barinski.
Like, hey, boss, you want us to do something about these guys?
Yeah. He's like losing. He's just like, oh, I know my final strategy. I'm going to cheat.
Yeah. Throw sand in one guy's face. Yeah, it's like cronies show
on the cockpit, just like sand, and the guy inside is like, ah!
He throws sand in one guy's face, and then like the ref shows up and says, hey, you can't throw sand in that guy's face. He's like, yeah, guys, get him. They just kill him.
So Jerome Winson, who was the Khan of Clan Wolf, to cool shit off, was elected after Nicholas Kerensky was murdered. So he's the new one. He had a very...
he won the fight after all.
Well, because, you know...
Lost the battle, won the war.
Yeah, well, you know, like, Kerensky was killed, Jerome Winson takes over, and Clan Wolf absorbs Widowmaker.
Okay.
So they do manage to do that because, you know, old Jorgie baby.
I'm glad they didn't let...
not an honest man.
I'm glad they didn't let Jorgie get away with this.
Well, no, of course not.
Bullshit picture.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm learning that Blizzard has stolen more and more names. Like, the longer we go on with this... We got Widowmaker. Like, all Blizzard games seem to have happened already before that.
Yeah.
except they happen again with more money.
Exactly. Yeah. They're just like creative vultures. They're just like...
Therefore,
better.
Exactly. Yeah. Might makes right.
Yeah.
The dollar bill is the most mighty thing that we have.
Yeah.
Also, excuse me, about currency. We mentioned Comstar. They also make a universal currency, is how strong they are. It's a C-bill.
They're Globotech.
Exactly. Yeah. Mega Global Torp, whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
The Canadian bill, C-bill.
The C-bill, exactly. Yeah. Get a couple of some Canadian prime ministers still on the C-bill for some reason.
The future universe just uses Canadian.
Or they're just trading seabirds' bills.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, like a seagull takes off their mouth, you trade that.
It's the only real sustainable currency.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything that we have an endless supply of, it's seabirds.
It's seabirds.
And they're delicious bills.
Yeah, exactly. And we could just ship them light years away to buy robots
in an instant.
A pelican's bill, that's like 100.
Yeah. You got in a strip club just like throwing bird bill. Throwing bird bills at a lady.
Bird bills. At a stripper in a mech suit. In a mech suit on a pole with somebody throwing fucking a stork beak at her. Like
old bird blood and half feathers. Like,
what the fuck?
It's end of the beak where it was removed from the bird isn't clean. It's still got like the feathers and like the bird bits on it. Like, oh my god.
There's like a fish in this one.
Yeah. Yeah, like there's like a fish inside the pelican bill.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I love the image. I was gonna just do like some cool art for this one, but I love the idea of like a mech on a stripper pole. For some reason, just being pelted with bird parts. Dude, this could be like our most esoteric one yet.
Right. I don't even know how we got that.
You're gonna have to read our minds to get that fucking joke. Oh, fuck.
Seabills, that's all it is,
man. Yeah. Seabills, that's it. Seabills, seabirds, bird bills. Bird bills are money. You throw money at strippers.
Yeah.
Okay, we made it.
Which is a thing I think in only Canada, because you throw loonies at girls.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know what loonies are, they're people from insane asylums.
Yeah.
And
we use them as currency.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when they're on their good days, they do a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's really good.
A wallet around here is more like a really big cage.
Yeah, it's like a pen.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
like, a clutch is more of a leash that you can keep a couple of them on. Yeah.
The problem with saving, though, is they'll tear each other up if you keep them around too long.
Yeah, and you gotta feed them even when you save them, so they don't really pay for themselves.
Yeah.
I wish there was some other way that we could
it's not good for the economy to save.
No, not exactly. It's like a bunch of crazy people die.
You gotta circulate that money back into the economy.
So Jerome Winson takes over. No, we're back.
Yeah.
Good one, though. Good. The creation of the art. Jerome Winson takes over. He has a very good ending. I thought it was very cute. Despite their, like, Con of Cons thing, like, it's still in the future, so it's still, like, old dudes in offices. Mm-hmm. Jerome Winson at some point suffers a debilitating stroke and poisons himself in 2870.
What a weird series of events.
Yeah, to kill him. Well, he's tired of having a stroke, so he puts some poison in his tea, and then he goes...
Not like... I thought you were saying, like, he has a stroke. He's like, fuck, I gotta poison myself right now.
No.
He put some poison on his burnt toast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just a little arsenic spread.
Yeah.
No, he puts poison in his tea after living with a stroke for a while and dies quietly in his office, and I thought that was very nice. Yeah. Then there's
does suck that in 800 years we still don't have a way to reverse strokes.
But. Yeah, I know it.
Brain's a fucked up thing, man. That'll be the last story we figure out.
Yeah, fuck it. I mean, we can so we can't figure out how to send email very fast. We can go to other planets and people still have strokes and die of heart attacks. Yeah. It's just like, oh man, the BattleTech future is so
lame.
Believable.
Yeah. The best weapon is gun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Still, yeah. The gun is good.
Just a side note, I work in a tech company and there was an IT chat that got created, and the first thing I said is, how do emails work? And I got kicked out by the IT people.
Oh yeah?
Email.
Email jams. You scam.
Oh, well, heck. Like,
oh, heck.
It's a good thing we don't edit these, and this is a flawless, this is a perfect conversation.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Back in the break here. Welcome back.
So after Jerome Winson kills himself, Wilson, what did I write here? God, I wish I brought glasses.
It was Winson.
Winson?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Was his name?
Yeah.
There's a Zoom function, by the way.
So? We're past that, James.
Okay, all right.
Jesus. What is that, Windows?
Fucking Christ. Give it the times, okay? I'm trying to run a show here. Do you want to quit your job eventually and just become a podcast host and video game person? We're working on it.
If I was going to do it, I'd make it my script the right size for my eyes to see.
Oh, James. Oh, oof, damn. Well, that shut me up.
Yeah.
The time period between
Peter's eyeing the beads that Jamie gave him and is like, man, I wish I didn't show him my tits.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like, I've got the currency, right? Now I can see now I can see anybody's tits.
Dude, my shirt's made of beads, watch out.
Yeah. So after he poisons himself and goes to sleep forever, the seat of Il Khan is empty until 2858.
Okay.
So nobody really gets reelected for a little while. The time period between 2830 and 2930, however, is known as the Golden Century.
That's
is where the majority of the advancements in clan tech came from, including what's known as the creation of the first Omnimech in 2854, which was called the Coital, built by clans Coyote and Sea Fox.
Coital?
The Coital, exactly. It's just...
Thank you, Bird.
They put two... The Coital, Coytol.
And they found the... Well, they found that golden spot.
And it's Omni, too. Coital. It's Omni, so it means it takes on more than one.
Oh, my God. Yeah. During one of their many gangbang orgies, the clans were
clan
just...
Bangs,
the clan bangs.
Yeah. Welcome to a clan bus.
That sounds like a symbol falling down the stairs. A clang bang.
So, yeah, exactly. During one of their orgies, they were just like, wait a second. What if you could take parts off a mech and replace them with other parts? So literally up until this point, mechs have functioned with what are known as hard points, which is like missiles go in the missile spot, lasers go in the laser spot, bullets go in the bullet spot.
Yeah.
So then it took them 400 years
to figure out, hey, we can make these parts interchangeable.
To just be like, yo, you guys remember Lego?
Yeah,
nice. Back on Earth.
As somebody works in an office, that makes sense. Bureaucracy.
Yeah. I know. It's the fucking worst. Anyway, an Omnimech just has bits on it that you can put guns on. And it took them this long to figure it out. So, like, generally speaking, there's a mech called the Catapult, which is an inner sphere mech. So now we can get into the difference between a clan mech and an inner sphere mech. Inner sphere mechs are old garbage with hard points. Clan mechs are a lot more flexible, a lot more versatile, faster, better armor, lighter in general, so they can they can fit a lot more shit inside them, and they're better in every way. So that was a problem with power creep in MechWarrior Online, is they were like, yeah, we have to kind of dial back the power of clan tech when we introduced it in the clan expansion, because, like, if you got a clan mech, lore-wise, you're objectively stronger than everybody else, right? A cool detail in MechWarrior Online was clan mechs have a different HUD, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's more advanced looking.
More
like the inner sphere HUD is very square and it's like yellow. So it's very, you know.
It's like got cave paintings for your fuel remaining.
You have to like update it when you get out.
Yeah.
And then the clan tech has like the kind of fancier blue and purple like curved HUD that looks like it's on the inside of a helmet opposed to like projected onto the inside of a window.
Some Tron shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. So that's pretty cool. So Omnimechs, they're better.
They're good.
Anyway, there's the Catapult is an inner sphere mech, which has pulse lasers up front and huge missile racks.
It could compete with it.
It's an artillery mech. But there's a catapult and the catapult K2. The K2 has two lightning guns on its shoulders, but these cannot be swapped out. You have to rebuild the entire machine. So the catapult and the catapult K2 are different mechs. Whereas an Omni mech, you would be able to just replace whatever the fuck you want, which whatever the fuck you need.
Yeah.
Which is why the clan mechs are better.
It's like this whole thing is like a rock, paper, scissors. Bullets beat missiles, beat energy weapons, beat bullets.
No.
And now it's like you got to switch them out depending on, oh, my enemy's got energy weapons.
No, it depends on where you are. So it's not so much like that. It's just like whatever the situation calls for.
Yeah.
You can just modify. So the Timberwolf is the most popular mech most people recognize. Yep. If I show it to you, guys will recognize it.
Best boots, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, the Timbaland's.
Yep.
Yeah. So the Timbaland is the most popular mech.
Okay. Gotcha.
Or the Justin Timberwolf.
Yeah.
Who brought sexy back.
Yeah.
This year's Super Bowl for all the future people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like
yeah.
the medic class, the Doc Martens.
I'm wearing some right now.
Are you wearing? Yeah. Yeah. My docs are finished.
Oh, yeah.
I got to get new ones. So it has like missile racks on its shoulders. It's got two arms that can contain either ballistic or energy weaponry. And then it's got guns on the chassis as well that have ballistic or energy weaponry as well. What's cool in MechWarrior Online, actually, you have two reticles.
Oh, yeah.
So, you can aim it.
You aim like your chassis
weapon. You can aim your arms anywhere because your arms pivot. But if you want to shoot someone with missiles, you have to rotate the chassis because missile racks don't.
Makes
pivot.
Sense, yeah.
It's really difficult. It's like a cross with a circle in it. The circle shows where your arms are, and like then the...
So your chassis is always in the center, but your arms are free to move wherever in the screen?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, if you have a mech with arms. Not all of them have arms.
Yeah.
Right.
Not all mechs have... Hashtag not all mechs have arms.
Not all mechs. Not all catapult mechs. Doesn't have arms.
No.
Catapult's just missile racks with legs.
Hashtag mechs.
Catapult
too.
Just has a head that he goes...
Exactly, and just headbutts people. So this is it. That's that. A bunch of other things happen that I'm not going to touch now because, like, clans don't have as much history as the Great Houses, but I might do, like, a five-clan-at-a-time episode one day. Yeah. I really enjoyed the Battletech
this
research.
This is a lot of fun, yeah.
There'll be more, but, like, stay tuned for something like that. I'm not going to talk about it now because we'd be here all fucking day until we invented battle mechs, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know. And then, finally, in 3049, Ilkhan Leo Showers...
Leo
Showers.
Okay.
Ironically, he's the dirtiest man.
He is. Yeah. He is just the dirtiest motherfucker. To compensate for his absurd name, takes clans Wolf, Jade Falcon, Ghost Bear, and Smoke Jaguar, and invades the Inner Sphere.
Oh,
he's just like
shit.
He's just like
I'm coming home.
Exactly.
I thought Smoke Jaguar had like defeated itself or something.
Not yet. They die in the games, which is post clan invasion. Okay. I jumped ahead there. I'm sorry. I forgot about James' advices on storytelling. But so since the clans had originally left with all the scientists, all the smart folks, when they came back with their clan technology, they fucking rolled
just
the Inner Sphere.
People, yeah.
Exactly.
Because in the Inner Sphere. Nobody had done anything in the time since.
Barely.
They'd literally just been in stasis.
So after when they originally left in like the 2700s and came back in 3049, the Inner Sphere still did not have Omnimechs. Omnimechs were invented by the clans. So it's like so far in the future, no one in the Inner Sphere was just like, you know what would be great?
Just swap these parts.
Dude, to clear things up for me though, it's like in the periphery, the Omnimechs are made, and in the Inner Sphere, they don't know about them.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And Omni-mechs are only mechs with interchangeable parts.
Yes.
Yeah.
And updated HUDs, it sounds like.
Okay.
Yeah, well, this is to make them look more futuristic, but basically. Yeah.
They all have got, what are those people put on mod cars on the back? Those
spoilers.
Spoilers.
Yeah. They've all got really tall spoilers. Yeah. They got neon. They got, like, drop kits.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking sick.
Yeah. They're fucking lit, dude. Yeah.
They have, like, so much bass, too. Like, nobody in the industry could figure out how to get speakers inside the trunk of a mech, and then the Omnimechs roll in, blasting just like fire mixtapes all over the place.
They've got four hydraulics in their legs.
In their legs?
In their hip sockets.
They can make them twerk.
Yeah.
Twerk their spoilers out of them.
So, within the month of March in 3049, the four invading clans had conquered multiple worlds in multiple different Great House areas of space.
They just showed up and did some sick drift. They just cucked all the men.
Everybody.
And all the women were like, oh yeah, we gotta go with those guys.
Yeah.
It's so nice. Your left arm gets damaged. Go back to the truck, put a new left arm on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel and The Rock show up. And they start, it's like fucking Two Clan, Two Furious.
Yeah,
it's furious. It's crazy. That's terrible. That's not even funny. Stop it.
I like it.
They use triple X batteries.
Yeah. So then everybody in the Inosphere is panicking super hard, and they're just like, oh fuck, oh god, what do we do? What did we do last time? I got it. Let's make the UN 2. And they form the second Star League.
Star League 2. Even leaguier.
Yeah, so this is canonically speaking, this is the third Star League, because we had Star League, Star League in Exile.
Star League Extra.
And now we have Star League 2.
So now we have
known
Star
League 2, Second Star League.
Second Star League.
Yeah. However,
I
this
still would have picked a different name. Do you want to be the named after the failing ones?
No, yeah.
Yeah, so this is just like, oh my god, it's so fucking ridiculous, exactly. Anyway, but now they can communicate easier thanks to Comstar. So they're not kind of in the exact same position, but they can use the hyperpulse generators to send messages at faster than light speed. Over the next 3 years, the clans launch 5 waves of invasion. However, during the 3rd wave, Ulrich Kerensky from Clan Wolf decided he wanted more planets, and then doubled the amount of planets he wanted to take. The other clans were skeptical. However, Kerensky, again, was vindicated, and the third wave was a resounding success.
Okay.
So he was just like, fuck you, kids. I don't want 10 planets. I want 20. And everybody was like, that's not possible. He did it. What? Holy fuck.
This proves capitalism is innate, because even with unlimited resources, people still want more.
Exactly. Yeah. Where was I? Yeah, so Clan Wolf kept doing amazing things during the 4th wave. However, this one would have been proven disastrous for the Jade Falcons and the Smoke Jaguars. So the Jade Falcon are the bad guys in the TV show in 3050. So that's kind of where they...
It's like in the Inner Sphere.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, well, that's when they invade there. They got there a year after the invasion.
Okay. So we're at like the beginning of the TV show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the Inner Sphere actually finally defeated the clans.
Okay.
The first battle they ever won was in 3050, the battle on the planet of Twycross, and this is where the Jade Falcons and the Smoke Jaguars lost their first fight against the Inner Sphere.
Okay. Who were using OmniMax or no?
No, not yet. No, this is actually kind of funny. We're just getting to the end of what I'm going to cover today.
Yeah.
And so there was a 5th and final wave, and then there was what was known as the Battle of Tukiyid between the 1st and 21st of May 3052. The military arm of Comstar actually managed to defeat the clans and had them sign a truce, stating they would not invade any further for 15 years.
Wow.
15
And the clans, because they're big on honor and clan justice, I guess, they were just like, okay, fine, you know what, you stomped us, finally we'll give you 15 years.
Wow. They're big on
15 years to get better. Yeah.
They're big on timekeeping to the center of the Inner Sphere, because to be like 50 light years out from the Inner Sphere and still keep the same time
they account for time dilation as they go faster than light.
But yeah, they give them 15 years for the Inner Sphere to do research. So this is in this period here is where the Inner Sphere builds their own OmniMax.
So they show up, they roll them a bunch, and they're like, hey, get good kid.
And then but 3 years later, when they finally get defeated, they were just like, oh fuck, I think we may have misjudged them. And then the Inner Sphere is like, hey, listen, give us 15 years, you stop. And that's where they take a lot of reclaimed clan technology.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where they start building their own Inner Sphere OmniMax, some of which do exist.
Okay.
And yeah, that's it. So the clan mechs all have a name that we would know. Like the Timberwolf, we would know more as the Mad Cat.
Okay.
Summoner, we would know more as Thor, because we didn't know what they were called when the clans showed up. So the Mad Cat looks like it has the arms that look like the arms of the Marauder, and it's got the missile racks like the catapult. So they took Marauder and catapult, Mad Cat. Put it together. It's actually called the Timberwolf because it is built by Clan Wolf.
Okay.
And the majority of the clans, except the Smoke Jaguars, said this was totally fine, and this is where I'm going to end it now, because now we're going to be getting into the destruction of Clan Smoke Jaguar and the video games that I'm mostly familiar with.
Cool.
After that, there is also the FedCom Civil War.
Okay.
And then the Blake Jihad, and that would be...
Yeah, you've said that a couple times now.
Is that their actual name?
The Blake Jihad is... So the guy who founded Comstar was...
That's the actual name.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. His name was Jerome Blake. And then after Comstar started kind of going off the rails, some people got unhappy with that. They left the company, founded the Word of Blake, their battle, which is the setting for Mech Assaults 1 and 2, is the Blake Jihad.
Okay.
Where they start doing that. So yeah, we'll get into some of the games, get some more of this other shit, but that'd be the enemy Battletech episode.
That's awesome. Wonderful.
I think kind of cool, eh?
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah. Funnily enough, for a game called MechWarrior, I mentioned this earlier, has very little to do with mechs, considering they're just tanks. They don't have any personality.
They were there, though. It was there. Like,
yeah, they were in all the fights.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like Warframe. It's like their tools.
Oh, yeah. They're gear. You just equip them.
Yeah. So since we're done the actual episode, Peter, I wanted to mention that Ori and the Blind Forest is half off, and I'm going to buy it this week.
Good. And, I love that game, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fantastic, right? And I still have the $20 gift card, so it's $11.
It's nice. Fucking great. Yeah. It's so much. It's hard, but it's a really, really good Metroidvania-style game. Yeah. What about you there, Ethan? You want to fill for time a little bit here? What have you been playing?
I've been watching World War II documentaries.
Right, colorized ones. You told me about that.
Yeah. Actually, no, I started a new game in Fallout New Vegas. And I did Kaisar's story missions for, like, the first time ever.
Right, yeah.
Because, like, this is, like, the first Fallout or, like, even Elder Scrolls game where there's, like, when you go the bad route, like, you're, like, actually, like, a bad fucking guy. You're not a guy who's out for himself.
You crucify people.
You're crucifying people. You're taking slaves. You're, like, you're a bad fucking dude,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, with all the other games, you're kind of just like, I'm in for my own best interest, you know?
Yeah.
Which you have in New Vegas, which is like the Mr. House, like if you take his side or you take New Vegas for yourself.
I sided with Mr. House. When I originally did it.
I think when I originally did it, I went NCR.
In the last week, I've gotten the Golden Shaman portrait in Hearthstone, which means 500 ranked wins, which is a lot of time.
Damn.
So I got that finally. Prestiged in Overwatch. I'm a Mercy main. Every time I say I'm a Mercy main, someone thinks I'm a woman. Not all men, all right?
Yeah.
And
Not all Mercy mains are women.
Yeah, exactly. Not all men are not Mercies.
Stop discriminating against male Mercies.
Well, anyways, on console, I like to pick Mercy because no one picks healer. And I get good at Mercy, one. Two, nobody ever picks a healer.
Yeah.
So our team is just better all the time because I can pick my main every single time. And also no one picks it, so
that's pretty great. Good.
Yeah, and also got into Fortnite recently, which is good fun. I'm not a fan of the building so much, but I'm having fun with it because it's free.
Otherwise, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Have you been playing anything?
Yeah, I started playing Neo. So I was really desperately trying to kick my Warframe habit, which I was doing okay with on playing Owlboy and like Snake Pass, which we got for Humble Monthly.
Yeah.
But then Neo went on sale for $30, and I grabbed that shit, and that is like Dark Souls, but with way better combat. It has a lot in common with Dark Souls. So far, the story isn't as good. And
you play high attack or high defense or middle?
I play, I guess, high offense, so I'm using light armor for extra
your sword's up
stamina.
Here. Sword's up top?
No, that's the heavy attack. I'm mid to low stance with two swords.
Okay.
And then I'm wearing light armor because I like the stamina regen, so that would be like kind of an offensive
like
set.
Souls.
Like. Yeah, exactly. it's very much the same way, but the combat's way better. I like the stances. I like the fact you have a bow and a gun, which is really cool. Yeah, so that was it. So, Ethan, if we were looking for you on the internet, where might I find you?
You can find me at Ethan the Deadman. Make sure to tell your friends about the podcast. We really appreciate it. Anybody who you think might like listening to it.
iTunes reviews.
Oh, yeah. Very important.
Yeah.
Hit us up on iTunes, at The Lore Boys, at Lore Boys, Google Lore Boys. We're all over the place. And thanks so much, everyone, for listening and keeping up the support. It really means a lot.
Yeah. Wouldn't do this otherwise. I mean, we would, but...
Yeah, James, you can find me on PSN at JAYMILLK64. Thank you to Diamond, thank you to Sneaky Feet, thank you to all of our great fans.
Padawanger.
Exactly. And Peter, where can we find you?
At Pete O'Donohue on Twitter, twitch.tv/theloreboys. I haven't streamed much of late, but I'm in and out, sort of. Jamie does most of the stramming.
All around the place.
Old Aunt Peter on Twitter. Pete O'Donohue on Twitter. Old Aunt Peter on Instagram. And then it's Loreboys Podcast on Instagram as well.
Yep.
Yeah, that's where you see a lot of the art and some pictures of James's dog.
Well, you can also find me in my very glittery BD shirt.
Today, actually.
Around,
exactly. Also, check out the Loreboys Facebook page. Yeah. That's about it. So I suppose that constitutes a Lore Boys.
Well, Ethan, don't you have something for Lore Boys?
Subscription! Whoops.
The people out there who are on the fence about getting Lore Boys Premium, we have a very special offer for the first person, the very first person to subscribe to Lore Boys Premium after this episode goes live. As you all know, Peter is trying to kick his Warframe habit, so we're offering the first person to subscribe after this episode goes live.
He doesn't use a mouse, he uses a needle.
Yeah. We're offering them Peter's Warframe account.
Yeah.
Which I think is the Steam account, so you're just getting Peter's Steam account.
No, the Warframe account is separate.
Oh, it is separate?
My Warframe account is worth about 11 Canadian dollars.
There you go.
I haven't spent much, but you can get at it. I've got 9 regular frames, 7 prime weapons, and then a bunch of other incomplete shit. And
if you'd like less than 10 American dollars.
There you go.
As everyone knows, 11 Canadian dollars is a higher value than the price of the subscription, which is a can of maple syrup. So
yeah, exactly. Which arguably is actually very expensive.
Yeah. Not quite $11, but pretty,
they always insist on it still being sealed. It's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah.
And that constitutes a lore, boy.
Oh!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.